Throughout the parshas we've been reading in the past few weeks, and we're going to be continuing to read in the coming few weeks, they're so riveting and captivating, and full of excitement, that it's as if they could have been written by a Hollywood screenwriter. In fact, both Hollywood and Broadway have made hundreds of millions of dollars off the Yosef and Moshe stories. And when it comes to this week's parsha, in my opinion, we begin the parsha coming off of the greatest cliffhanger in the entire Torah. At the end of last week's parsha, so Yosef had placed his cup into Binyamin's bag, and Binyamin is now about to be taken prisoner. And Yehuda approaches Yosef, and he has to try to persuade Yosef to let him go. And he says, I'll be your slave in his place, but let him go. And that's when it stops. And we begin this week's parsha with the continuation of his speech, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. And of course, it's a very powerful moment, and it's exactly what leads to Yosef's revelation to his brothers. And when it comes to speeches, there's a tremendous difference between a good speech and a great speech. Throughout history, the world has been impacted by great speeches, not good speeches. Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address are just two examples of powerful speeches that have shaped the world. A great speech doesn't just mean that it's captivating, which it certainly must be, but that it's informing you of a new or different perspective on something which you did not know. When Yehuda approaches Yosef, though, he delivers one of the greatest speeches in Tanakh. Right? This is what led to Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. But if you look at the words, it's really strange because it seems as if he's not adding anything. He just repeats the story and there's nothing new. There's no new information that will lead Yosef to want to reveal himself. Right? Lord Jonathan Sacks points out this idea that why is it that Yosef is moved after this speech by Yehuda to reveal himself when he doesn't really say anything new? So in answering this question, we have to first consider another question that was raised by the Ramban. The Ramban asks, why throughout Yosef's 22 years away from his home does he never try to contact his father? After all, his father wasn't the one to throw him in a pit or to sell him as a slave. And it seems strange that he didn't. Now, one could argue maybe the first decade or so while he was a slave in Mitzrayim, it makes sense. He didn't have the ability to contact his father. But certainly, when you're the viceroy of Mitzrayim for the 9 years that he's been viceroy, he certainly could have had the ability to just send a note to Yaakov. So why didn't he? So Rav Yoel ben Nun gives the following answer. He says that it's actually possible that Yosef thought that his father was responsible for what his brothers did to him. And this theory stems from a few pieces of circumstantial evidence. First, Yosef was originally sent down to Dothan by his father, who asked him to check on them. It was his father's idea to go send Yosef to them when they decided to throw him in the pit. Secondly, the last recorded conversation between Yosef and his father was when Yosef revealed the second dream of the stars to him. In the dream, the sun and the moon representing Yaakov and Rachel were bowing down to him. And this really upset Yaakov. And he responded to Yosef, "What's this dream that you've dreamed? Will we come, I, your father, and your mother, and your brothers, to bow down to you?" So that was the last conversation we were told about before the incident. And clearly they don't end off on a great note. It isn't a far stretch for Yosef to think that his father ordered his brothers to get rid of him. Yehuda's speech doesn't contain anything novel to someone who already knows the storyline. But to Yosef, it was eye-opening. Because Yehuda reveals to Yosef that Yaakov believed that he was killed by a wild animal and was extremely saddened by these events and has been mourning Yosef's loss for all these years. And it was this fact that caused Yosef to become extremely emotional and to feel compelled to reveal himself to his brothers. Within minutes of hearing Yehuda's monologue, Yosef dismisses the Egyptian guards so he could finally reveal himself to his brothers and order them to bring their father Yaakov down to Mitzrayim immediately. Whether this theory is correct or not, It is certainly intriguing and teaches us a very valuable lesson. Every so often, each of us has misconceived notions about someone. It could be that we thought a friend said something nasty about us, and it turned out to not be true. Another type of misconception is where the facts are true, but we're simply missing something. It could be we think someone's upset at us, and they do say something mean or do something, but there's really something else going on in their life that just caused this outburst. As a teacher, there are plenty of times where a student has said or done something that's extremely disrespectful, and I know that has nothing to do with me. It could be their parents are going through a difficult divorce, or they just got broken up with. It doesn't justify their action, but when we think about the whole picture and take everything into account, suddenly we realize that it's not about me. It's not where they're mad at me and I have to take it personal and I have to respond in a certain way because of that. And we should all try our best to realize, and I don't want to say I'm perfect at it. I certainly get offended at times. But it's important to know this. It's important to know there's always a backstory to things. Sometimes, like I said, the first example, sometimes things happen, they're just totally not true. Like in the Yosef story, for years, he just didn't even realize that his father loved him and his father thought he died. And just simple note, something for him to, had he found that out years earlier, the story would have been totally different. And for us, we try our best to realize we don't always have all the information. If we think someone's mad at us or doesn't like us, whatever it may be, it's important to find out the whole story. It's important to know that there are other components that we just don't see. We should try our best to not judge others and to allow our minds to think three steps ahead and to try allow our minds to not think three steps ahead of what's in front of us. And we should do our best to not take things too personal. Because a lot of times, the most difficult components in life are when someone's offended in such a way. And it really could have a detrimental impact on their relationship with that person, where it's all based on a false pretense. It's all based on something that's just not true. And it's really important to try to be as easygoing. And the Gemara says, "Kol hamavir al midosav, mavir lo kol pshav." That even when someone lashes out, I remember I was once in a very busy restaurant on a Motzei Shabbos, and it was a fast food place, and I gave my order, and I think I was in a rush, but I can't remember, honestly. This goes back about a decade, and I was waiting 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, and I asked the person, I said, "Excuse me, just wonder, is my food ready?" And I knew it took about 5 minutes to make, and it was like 10 or 15 minutes now, and the person started yelling at me. The person behind the counter. Now, there were tons of people there. The place was packed. He was taking tons of orders. And it's lashed out at me. And it ended up being, they never made my food. He never gave the order in. And I had to wait another 10 minutes after that anyway. And it was all just totally, obviously coming from a place of he was busy. He felt extreme pressure for what he was doing. And he lashed out at me. And the concept of kol hamavir al midosav mavir lo kol pshav is that when someone does something to you, so there's no need to react. And when someone goes above and beyond and just doesn't react back, whether justified or unjustified, then it's so impactful that your sins could be forgiven. That's what the Gemara says. Kol hamavir al midosav, let that go by. Mavir lo kol pshav, Hashem will let your sins go by. Hashem will erase your sins. And so powerful, and something that's very difficult to do, of course, but it's something that we should all strive for.